I think that we're really passionate about doing good things and kind of positive transformation. You know, having an influence on the community around us is something that I think we all really value and want to participate in.
Every single individual matters. Every single individual has talents and skills that they are able to lend to the workforce, to our communities, to our culture. And if we can make sure that every single child or an adult is able to self-actualize their strongest talents, we will be the strongest society that we can possibly be.
It's Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. 30 years ago, Pittsburgh was losing 50,000 more people than it was attracting each year, with young adults accounting for most of that loss. The region's 20 to 34-year-old population, millennials, has steadily increased over the last decade. Yet Pittsburgh remains one of the oldest metropolitan regions in the nation. And as the bulk of the population retires, what does our future workforce and economy look like? Here to discuss those questions and more are Christy Uffelman, who counsels millennials in the workplace. She's also a member of Strong Women, Strong Girls, a mentoring group that's three-tiered with different age levels. Christy Uffelman, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me.
And we welcome back for this segment Sasha King, independent career consultant. Sasha, thanks for hanging around.
Thank you for having me.
How does this generation approach the working world differently from other generations?
So I would say the biggest thing that the millennial generation mindset is around collaboration and contribution, right? Sasha and I were talking earlier, we started learning in pods as early as kindergarten, in pods of four or five kids, versus previous generations who were learning in rows after row of desks. And from the Fortune 500 companies to the family-owned business down the street, companies are really recognizing that they need to approach their millennial talent differently than they have previous generations. So you contrast that unique collaborative learning to the traditional organizations of looking at, perks and status and titles, when they're really looking for how can I make a contribution to my team, to my department, and to my company.
So much more team-oriented then.
Oh, absolutely. Very team-focused, very peer group-focused.
And what are some of the other ways, Sasha, that the approach manifests itself in terms of the difference that millennials might the different approach millennials might take? For example, just with more relaxed environments, perhaps, or different dress codes? What are we seeing?
What you're seeing is also the embodiment of, instead of they've watched their previous generations and their parents lose jobs after being basically workaholics. So they have a different approach to work. Many of them would wish to work to live as opposed to live to work. And so how does that manifest itself in how they behave at work? The other thing that this group has seen is also the birth of business casual. Their parents had to go to work in a three-piece suit. Now that you have a situation where you can actually come to work business casual, so they really enjoy and like to use that. Another thing I think that characterizes millennials in terms of work is they love innovation. They're big, the big people in their generation, like Mark Zuckerberg, were startup people. One of the number one things many young millennials want to do is they want to start their own business, they want to be entrepreneurs, and they want to be in a company dedicated to innovation. So if your company isn't interested in new ideas, is not interested in being innovative, you're going to have a hard time attracting millennials. Another thing that characterizes this generation is the self-sufficiency with technology. They are technologically literate in a way that previous generations perhaps not have been. You do have a lot of technological literacy in Generation X, but one of the things that they've found in studies is that Generation Millennial is much more comfortable actually solving technological problems around the office without actually calling in the help desk. So that's another wonderful thing that they bring to the workforce. And also they have a really strong fluency in working across different groups and cultural competency. So one of the things that they see as a strength in terms of building on what Christy talked about earlier is using that idea that, okay, if I'm working in an international setting and I need to make sure I'm marketing a product toward a group of people in another country, I'm going to actually work with someone from another country, possibly even using technology, to talk to them to make sure that I'm marketing this product in a way that's going to be successful for them. So they have those advantages that they really do bring to the workforce.
Why do you think it's important for employers to have a better understanding of this generation?
Well, if you look at the demographics in the United States, it kind of looks like a barbell, right? You have 63 million boomers weighing down on one end of the barbell. You have 80 million millennials. So you have this, you know, largest generation America has ever seen. And then you have this skinny little bar in between, which is Gen X. So what that means for our organizations is that talent and succession planning is a huge issue. And what that means is that as the boomers start to retire, companies are going to have to pipeline young leaders into leadership positions before they're really ready and before our organizational constructs are set up so that they can be successful, right? So in the past, there were, let's say, 9 steps in a career path, right? You would be an entry level for 4 years and then a supervisor for 2 and then a manager and then a director and then a VP, which when you look at it is like 14 years. But if you take a look at that barbell, right, the actual numbers, we really only have half that time. So how are we going to adapt? That's where companies need to focus.
And Sasha, how do millennials measure success?
Measure success for millennials is going to work a little differently. And to best understand that, you have to understand what they're dealing with in terms of the economy. The average millennial, unfortunately, is really having to deal with an economic climate, especially after 2007, 2008, where they cannot necessarily, after they've graduated from school, get one steady job. So many of them, especially according to the New York Times study, is that they're multiple interns or they're working 3 or 4 jobs. So if you can't necessarily always achieve success, because we know that, as Christy pointed out, the number of leadership positions are eviscerating, they're going away. So they measure success by not financial needs, but by doing something that you're passionate about that is meaningful and is also civically engaged. They want to actually use business in a way that actually impacts their society and their communities in a positive manner. So in other words, in order to attract a millennial to work for your business or measure success for them, it's not by financial needs. I mean, one of the things that they're really struggling with that baby boomers don't understand is like, okay, I'll give you a really big salary. Sometimes millennials will actually turn down that large salary if they feel they can work for another company that's going to make a bigger difference in the community.
Meaning altruistically.
Yes, they're far more altruistic in terms of how they measure success, because they saw what happened beforehand and feel as though some of societal problems are related to greed. So they're much more concerned about, okay, success means not just for me, but the person in my neighborhood too.
So is purchasing power at all a part of that measure of success the way it has been for other generations? Maybe it's downplayed by some as not necessarily feeding the soul. But at the same time, it must come into play at some point, doesn't it?
Well, actually, this is the great thing about this is they're the anti-consumerist generation in many respects, okay? And this is something that shocks people. Now, we do admit that there are many millennials have our little tech fetishes. Yes, we do love our Apple products for some of us. However, one of the things that we're finding is, one, we're not buying cars. GM and the other major automakers are struggling to actually get millennials to purchase cars. One, because of financial concerns, but two, they would rather actually take public transportation to work and live in cities. Now, another factor on that is millennials are eschewing credit cards. They are not actually becoming the big consumerist generation. And because they do not have the economic means to achieve adulthood, like necessarily getting their own apartment all the time and buying their own furniture or other things, they actually are reduced for using recycle a lot more.
Interesting. And when you talked about millennials being more inclined to use public transportation, what does that mean for a city like Pittsburgh trying to attract millennials when we are struggling to meet our public transportation needs?
It's a big problem. It's a very big problem. And I was a part of a young leaders group at the Allegheny Conference a few years ago, and they had 300 of us in a room at the Power Center at Duquesne University and asked, what are the 3 things you think that we need to focus on as a community? And transportation was the number one thing.
How are businesses led by millennials pushing the Pittsburgh economy in a new direction? Christy.
Oh, gosh. Well, so the millennials, you know, if you remember nothing else about this generation, think collaboration and contribution, right? The millennial generation wants to have a contribution and wants to have a voice. And so they desire worthy causes, sustainability, green workplaces, right? They value diversity, inclusive excellence. And, you know, all of that going back and changing the world comes from what happened during their formative years, right? Between what do they say? Researchers say between 10 and 20 is our formative year. So what happened in the world when we were between those ages is what impacts us. And if you think about the millennial generation, in addition to what we saw happen in the corporate world, but look at what we saw happen around us. Forever marked by terrorism on our turf with 9/11, Columbine, Boston Marathon shootings. I mean, you look around, the millennial generation, we know life is short. Right. And so I think that's really at the heart of why this generation wants to change the world and do what they can. I mean, look at just I was thinking about it before I came in here. Three millennial leaders that are making an impact in Pittsburgh. Right. You have Andrew Butcher at GTEC. Right. Growth and energy through community health. And he's all about advancing community prosperity and reframing how we look at urban decay. And then you have Justin Strong with the Seventh Movement and taking the success he had from the Shadow Lounge and Ava into sustainable economic development in depressed areas. And then you've got like Amelia Roncone, you know, from Amelia's Elegant Catering and the founder of Young Professional Women in Energy, right? They're taking what they're passionate about, but at the end of the day, it's almost like not just entrepreneurship, but social entrepreneurship.
As someone who counsels millennials in the workplace, how do you advise them? What sorts of ideas do you have for them for how to work with people who are part of previous generations?
Well, the biggest thing that I say when I speak with millennials and coach them is when we talk and we interact with boomers, who are generally the leaders inside our organizations right now, is to appreciate their experience. Boomers are very into process, procedure, and program, right? So approach them where they are, appreciate their experience. As it relates to Gen X, Gen Xers, it's all about appreciating their ideas. So I definitely encourage millennials to take a look. They're going to be on the same playing field with Gen Xers as it relates to work-life integration, right? A millennial is going to think nothing of checking their email at 10 o'clock at night and working for an hour and a half. But they would also, much like the Gen Xers, like to be able to take an hour and a half at lunch to run to the grocery store, right? So they're going to have an easier time in some regards with Gen Xers, but in some regards, it's even more difficult because Gen Xers are focused more on an individual career path versus they don't get the whole millennial collaborative mindset. And in that regard, in that way, millennials have a lot more in common with boomers. And then when they work with each other, I mean, that's where the real magic happens.
Sasha, what about the advice that you give to millennials?
My advice I generally give to millennials is one of the great things about your generation is that you're innovative and you like to come up with lots of different ideas. So one of the things you want to do first is make sure you spend time talking to your coworkers and mentors before you pitch an idea. One of the things I often see in millennial clients is that they come into a work position and they want to make radical changes because they are really passionate in what they're doing and what they believe in. However, I always encourage them to really make sure that they earn their stripes. Make sure that you succeed in the task that they give you first. After you've achieved a certain level of success, find who your mentors are and who are open to your ideas. Then pitch them after you've done research and present a polished idea. One of the number one things I'm seeing, unfortunately, with some of my millennial clients is that they don't present polished ideas. They also have to be slightly stronger about making sure they adhere to criticism and follow through on projects. One of the things is because so many of them are used to working in a collaborative environment, sometimes certain people got in the habit of not having to contribute as much to groups as others. So for those clients who have struggled with that, because of that, I always make sure that they understand you have an individual profile that you, which you will be graded. So therefore, you have to make sure you contribute what you need to.
Sasha King is an independent career consultant, and also joining us in studio, Christy Uffelman, who counsels millennials in the workplace. She's also a member of Strong Women, Strong Girls, a mentoring group that's three-tiered with different age levels. Thank you both for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you
for having me.
Coming up, how are millennials influencing political and social change in Pittsburgh? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.